Well, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Lackadaisical Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jordan, and with me today, we have Vinny. We have Patrick. We have Patrick.
Oh, don't worry. You didn't pick up my mic, but you're going to have very bad ear piercings when you edit this.
Oh, okay. Patrick made a sound that I have to edit.
I was scratching the mic really badly.
Oh, okay. And returning this week, we have Ben.
Unfortunately.
Hello.
Unfortunately.
Well, look, like I said last week, he is a big part of the podcast, and it wasn't a fat joke.
Would have worked better as one.
It would have, but last week in the intro, I was like, yeah, we're missing a big part of the podcast, and then everyone's like, oh, fat jokes, huh? It's like, well, no, it's just, you know, I didn't mean to make a fat joke. It just, you know, he happens to be fat. As Patrick started as Patrick started a couple episodes ago.
He's fat!
He's slowly coming down, though.
Yeah, slowly, yeah. I've lost 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Made a Twitter thread to keep track of it.
I did.
Doing good. We're all proud of him. Except for Vinny. Vinny's never proud of any of us because, you know, he's been skinny his whole life. He's never had to go through the struggle of being fat.
He's on a level of superiority to us.
Yeah.
In
exactly.
His head.
Exactly. Thank you. That's what I've been trying to get at.
He looks down on us as cholesterol filled weaklings.
How can I look down on you? I'm shorter than all of you.
I was about to say that.
All right, I look down on Vinny as the midget that he is.
Midget's an offensive word. I'm going to have to ask you to back that up, Mike.
All right, I'm going to look down on Vinny as the dwarf that he is.
There you go. No, that's still slightly offensive.
I'm
going to look down on Vinny as the short man that he is.
There you go.
No, because that implies he has anger issues. You're still offending people.
I'm going to look down. You know what? I'm just going to look down on Vinny because he can go fuck himself.
That works. That really honestly works. That is the least offensive way to put it, because no one's going to be offended by us saying, fuck you, Vinny. They'll be offended by us calling him a midget,
a
weedle. Dwarf. Yeah, that too.
Actually, my sister is below the legal age of being called a dwarf.
Age? You mean height?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, your sister is older than you.
How tall is your sister?
4'6".
Whoa, okay then.
Don't ask how I know that, folks. I just do.
Everybody already knows how you know that, Jordan.
Well, I mean, not the, you know, listeners.
That's what you think, Dr. Eggman. Or not what you think, Dr. Eggman.
That's
not what you think, Dr. Eggman.
Does somebody have a hammer and a glass?
Yeah, hammer.
I mean,
and
I
glass.
Have a glass desk. I don't want to hit it with a hammer, though.
I think you need to.
No.
No, you don't. No.
You just... Look, it might cut you. It's okay.
Then why don't you do it? Why don't you go break your fucking window that you're sitting in front of?
Listen, Vinny, you're edgier than
because there are people. There are people painting our house. I don't want them to break in.
Them and their damn country music going break in and tickle your whatever. I don't know. I couldn't think of something that was appropriate.
Listen, if they're listening to country music, chances are they're not going to want to do anything to Ben. They're
going to
be scared of him.
What, Patrick?
No, I don't think any of them are relatively scared of me.
What did you say, Patrick?
I said, fuck country music.
Oh, yeah, everyone here is of that belief. I agree.
How did that battle for superiority go, by the way?
I just played my music loud enough so I didn't have to hear theirs, quite frankly.
So you won.
Sure, yeah. We'll go with that.
You know, you said they're likely not to want to do anything with Ben, but if they hear him blaring metal, they might assume that he's, you know, his religion or lack thereof, and they may want to come in and talk to him about Jesus for a little bit and try to convert him to the ways of their belief.
I think it's more likely they start a mosh pit outside.
And then they try putting holy water on him before he goes out for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, as you leave your house, they just put holy water on you.
God bless your soul.
Look down on my shirt. No.
This is a clean shirt, fucker.
Got paint on me. That wasn't water.
Paint, bro.
It wasn't holy water, it was the fucking paint.
For context, they've been painting his house for the past, like, 4 weeks, apparently. 2 weeks.
Yeah,
scraping it, repainting the exterior.
Last week it was the roof.
No, last week they were painting.
We thought it was the roof, but then it was just them.
Thought it was the roof, but really they were scraping paint off my side of the house. Like, quite literally right outside my window.
Which they can then peek in and see what he's doing. And, you know, in the mornings when he has his good old-fashioned Metallica session where he just vigorously slaps the shit out of himself while crying and listening to Metallica and Nothing Else Matters, they get to witness
it. Why would I slap myself to Nothing Else Matters?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
Nothing Else Matters isn't even heavy enough to slap myself to.
No. You're sitting there crying.
I have to at least choose the thing that should not be.
Tears dripping down your face onto the ground. You're just depressed and slapping the shit out of yourself over and over again while you listen to Nothing Else Matters. Oh, sorry, I'm describing myself. The faces everyone has right now are priceless.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know, this podcast turned into a shit
How
joke.
Much crack have you smoked?
Look, I've been up since too early and I've had too much caffeine. That's my problem.
I bet you've only been up since 8.
No, woke up at 7:20. So just That's before.
Fuck you then.
You were close.
I was close.
Speaking of close, let's go ahead and close this intro and jump into the topics. So, there is a rumor that Nintendo is gearing up to start its own streaming service using Microsoft's Azure, according to industry insider David Gibson. Recently, it was announced that Sony was going to be collaborating with Microsoft and using their streaming technology for select Sony platforms. And following this announcement, David Gibson said on Twitter that Nintendo will also be following in the footsteps of Sony. Nintendo is set to use Microsoft Azure for their streaming service, according to this tweet. And the tweet reads, plus it means more likely for Sony plus Microsoft to be the streaming winners again despite the new entrance. Where does that leave Nintendo? Likely agreement with Microsoft and perhaps Sony to offer their streaming services on Switch. But also Nintendo itself is looking also to work with Microsoft Azure to offer its own streaming service in limited regions, Japan, US, etc. So, if Microsoft and Sony's deal was to get some sort of video game streaming service going using Microsoft's Azure platform, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
Nintendo hopping on it would make sense as well. I mean, I can see everyone hopping on this bandwagon to get games streaming to people.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
We've talked about this when...
We've talked about this like 3 times.
Kinda, yeah. But when Stadia came out, that was the most recent thing that, you know, sparked our interest with video game streaming, and we talked about it. And this doesn't surprise me at all. If every other major company, Sony and, you know, Nintendo and Microsoft, are all going to start their own streaming services like that as well, it makes complete sense. That doesn't surprise me. I think that's going to take over digital downloads for sure at some point. Because unless you're in a rural area with no internet, which most people in rural areas with no internet aren't playing modern consoles, I don't think.
And if they are, they're not buying digital.
Exactly. Anyway. They're going to be using a physical disc and playing the outdated versions that need updates or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Majority of people that are playing these games are hooked up to the internet 24/7 and usually have good internet. You know, our situations aren't ideal with internet, but majority of people in the U.S. have good internet for streaming. You know, they have at least 20 down, 5 up, yada yada. They can do that. So, I see this taking over digital gaming completely and it just being a streaming thing rather than downloading and installing and having to have big hard drives in your consoles and all that. Just stream them and play them when you're going to play them. You know, I could see that being the future. And everyone freaking out when Sony and Microsoft partnered for this is like, that doesn't mean Xbox and PlayStation are partnering and going to start releasing cross-platform games. This is Sony as a company and Microsoft as a company sharing a platform that one has created for monetary gain for the both of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's two major companies partnering to take on the company that, let's be quite frank, is bigger than both of them.
Google.
What it is them trying to keep Google out of the market. Really, I mean, if we think about it.
Yeah.
They can't let Google get to it first. If Google's going to be streaming games first, AAA games first, before anyone else, they might, everyone else might be fucked if they come in too late. So they're making sure to jump on now before it's too late.
Exactly. And Nintendo getting in on it just like,
makes sense.
To me, further solidifies that fact.
And I'm honestly glad if Nintendo does, because I don't want Nintendo to fall back. Nintendo tends to do that. No. They try to do their own thing so much that sometimes it hurts them.
Usually it hurts them.
Yeah. Hence the Wii U.
Looking at you, the Wii U.
They do stuff like that, and it winds up hurting them.
Although they seem to have hit it big with the Switch, so doing their own thing sometimes does result in hits.
Now, one thing that I find potentially interesting, you know, Nintendo Switch Online, obviously the NES games are there. We haven't really gotten anything else beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they could potentially take the NES games and put them on another service that is kind of like Game Pass, but includes streaming?
I'd say so, yes.
Something that will potentially include the entire, you know, like every Nintendo system virtually.
I mean,
maybe.
I mean, if you look at PlayStation now, you know, they've got PS2, PS3 games streaming. I don't know about PS4, but it's something to think about.
It's Nintendo, though, so the likelihood of them doing something crazy like that.
I mean, yeah, the likelihood of them, like, you know, going with what is modern and sticking with the modern era of gaming and gaming tech, probably, you know, a very slim chance. But they're not known for sticking
with the norm.
With the norm. Yeah,
Patrick, you know, of course, despises digital gaming because it takes away a lot of what he believes in gaming. What do you think about this, Patrick?
I don't really know too much about streaming stuff, so that's why I don't have much for the topic, because I never even knew Nintendo was doing something, but I never figured out exactly when in depth and what they were doing, so I'm just like, I don't know. You mentioned streaming, I'm like, well, you can't do that. Don't have internet for it.
Yeah, Patrick, like I say, when we have bad internet, Patrick has bad internet. It's never consistent and good for him. I'm probably right after him, the second worst, second worst here, because I just had the lowest speeds, but at least mine are consistent, so I can't complain.
Yeah, at least you can stream and I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I prefer digital, but if it's the only way to play games that I'm really excited for, I'd probably crack and go for this streaming service.
Yeah. Like, say they released Nintendo, for some reason, decided to put exclusive on a streaming service and no console version of a game or physical release. You're going to do that. Like, say Animal Crossing, they decide to put that digital only through their streaming service. That would be a chode move. That would be a chode move, but yeah, I can see them doing something like that with those types of franchises, Animal Crossing.
Though, you know what? If they're going to try to sell this streaming service, popular franchises like Animal Crossing would be the way to go.
Right.
I mean, for a company like Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, I don't think are ever going to put something out there digital, or not digital only, but physical, or streaming only. Jesus.
That's digital only.
No.
But you don't get to own it.
No, streaming only is very different from digital only. Because at least with digital only, you get a license.
Fair enough.
And like Vinny said, it's more like renting.
All right.
Because like you have the payment for the subscription, and that thing is on there until they decide it's not.
Right. And if you don't finish the game in time, you're just fucked.
Exactly. Yeah, whereas if you pay it for the license, like... You can chip away at it as you can. Yeah, like Scott Pilgrim versus the World, for example. I got out on PlayStation Plus forever ago. I can still go and download it because I already got
you
the already game.
You own it.
You purchase a license for it, and you still have that license.
Exactly.
It doesn't expire.
But say if it was on a streaming service, and they took it away, and I never paid for it, I would never be able to play that game again. Unless they put it back on there.
Exactly.
And with Animal Crossing, I don't think they would ever make that streaming exclusive, specifically because of that. Because Nintendo makes those Animal Crossing games to be like, look, we're putting this one out on this system, we want it to be long-term until the next system.
Which, that's fine. I could just see something like Animal Crossing, other smaller franchises, because Animal Crossing isn't necessarily small, but it's not, you know, Zelda or Mario big. But I also can see them putting an exclusive Mario game like Mario Run.
I mean, Animal Crossing is pretty big.
Yeah, I think you're underestimating just how big it actually is.
Maybe I am. I actually don't know.
Do you remember the outcry when Isabelle was first announced and we thought we weren't getting an announcement for Animal Crossing Switch?
Yes. Yes, I do. Maybe I'm underestimating
that. It's pretty fucking big.
You get the general idea, though, at least.
Yes.
Maybe Animal Crossing isn't the best example, but something along those lines, a lesser Metroid game series. Yeah, Metroid.
I mean, maybe. You know,
put a fucking exclusive Metroid game on there. Piss me off.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't see any of those companies doing that because I think they understand the value of sales too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, actual sales, not streaming. Streaming for convenience, not for exclusivity.
Basically.
Except for Google Stadia. They're going to get some indie games. I'm sure they're going to be fucking exclusive on there or something at some point.
I'm sure. And knowing me, I might consider paying for it, but probably not because I still think that controller idea is dumb, but really whatever. Dumb.
But yeah. So we may see a future of digital games or streaming games be prevalent quite soon, considering these recent changes or rumors and whatnot.
Yeah.
Still on the topic of Nintendo, Vinny's got some cool stuff for us about Mario Kart Tour.
So, a while back, Nintendo announced that they were having a beta for their Mario Kart mobile game, Mario Kart Tour, and the beta started, people have started talking about it, and I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
I haven't seen any of it yet.
It's played in portrait mode, not landscape mode.
So you're
trying to play a racing game with a vertical phone, so you can't see too much left and right.
Well, did you read the article to see how it plays?
I've skimmed it.
It auto accelerates. If you notice the errors in the screenshots, I am assuming what you do is it's maybe more QuickTime event-y.
Maybe. But either way, you still can't see too much around you, and it's a racing game. That's stuff you need to see.
I mean, it's Mario Kart as well, but I would like the option to go, you know, sideways too. I wouldn't want to just be stuck to portrait, but maybe that'll change. I don't think that's primarily a problem as much.
Oh, gyro controls are also supported. Okay.
See, I'm okay with gyro controls, kind of. If they're done well, like the aiming in Ocarina 3D, I'm fine with them. But if it's like, I'm struggling to think of an example of bad gyro controls. But like, Ocarina 3D's aiming is done well. So if it's done well, I'm cool with it. If not,
Well, chances are your phone's going to have a better gyro than, you know, a 3DS would, I would imagine.
You really think this piece of crap is going to have a better gyro than
a 3DS?
Not yours,
but our phones. Like, you know, everyone that has an iPhone, which a majority of people that play this game are going to have an iPhone or a Samsung phone, are going to have a better gyro than a 3DS.
But, so a lot of the staples of Mario Kart are back, 50, 100, 150, and I am hearing 200 separate from this article. Not sure. And to unlock new cups, you have to collect stars.
Yeah, there's a gacha element to the game.
Drivers.
That's the one thing that turns me off to the idea of it, because I don't particularly want Mario Kart with gacha.
I'm hoping that this flops, because as cool an idea as it is, if they're going to bog it down as much as they are, or seem to be with the gacha stuff,
Like, there's realistically only one thing that I find to be truly interesting about this that is different from all the other Mario Kart games.
And what's that?
The number of items each player receives upon hitting an item box is dependent on the stage.
Yeah.
On Toad's own courses, he gets 3 items, but say on Donkey Kong Jungle, he only gets 2. I think that's interesting,
and
I kind of want to see that stick.
I hope they bring that in the next main Mario Kart game, because that's an interesting level of sort of strategy. granted, if you're playing online the way they've been doing it, you're not going to know what stage you're going to until after you've selected your character. But it would still be nice to have the chance of having the extra item slot. So they limit how many races you could do with a stamina system, which, of course, it's a mobile game. They're going to let you pay to skip the wait time. But they have a decent amount of characters confirmed. You have your Mario, Luigi, Peach, Daisy, Toad, Toadette, Rosalina, Patrick is happy, Waluigi, Baby Peach, Baby Daisy, Baby Rosalina, Metal Mario, Larry, Lemmy, Ludwig, Drybones, Dry Bowser, Baby Mario, Baby Luigi, Wendy, Morton, Iggy, Donkey Kong, and Koopa Troopa. And they've only confirmed a handful of courses so far. You have the SNES Choco Island 2, GameCube's Dino Jungle, the DS Luigi's Mansion, 3DS Toad Circuit, and 3DS Mario Circuit. And some of those courses are nice to see again, like the DS Luigi's Mansion. I really like that stage. But they're not really selling me on this game. Like, I hate to be, like, negative about this, but it's just not speaking to me personally.
I don't think they're really trying to sell anybody on the game yet unless they entered the beta.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they're actually going to try and sell the game at E3.
Maybe. Probably, actually. Because,
I mean, like, these are just screenshots coming from people and nothing, yeah, like, actually from Nintendo yet.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that character roster is very lackluster to me.
I think that's okay for a mobile game.
I think it's...
Personally.
I mean, I guess, because, like, with a mobile game, like, obviously with the baby characters, you're probably reusing a certain amount of assets, and with the Koopalings, you're probably reusing a certain amount of assets.
Yeah, because this just looks like Mario Kart 8 to me. After reading through it, because I didn't get to read through it until just now, to me, it just seems like a typical, what you would think Mario Kart Mobile would be. A lot of gacha elements and stuff like that. A lot of cooldowns. You can't just, you know, play like you would a console version. It's more so they have to give you incentive to play or get certain characters or do this or do that, to where you unlock this or that, or get in-game currency to do this or that. I'm imagining stuff like that. That's what I'm getting, or that's the vibe I'm getting from it. And that seems about right for a mobile game. They got to make money somehow off of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Besides the initial purchase. And they got to keep you playing, give you incentive to want to play. Oh, well, if you play this time during each day, you'll get extra chance to unlock this character or unlock this course or this or that or get this extra glider. Stuff like that, from what I'm reading. So that would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It's not a console Mario Kart game, regardless. We have a good console Mario Kart game right now. Mm-hmm. We have the best Mario Kart game, you know, that collectively we all enjoy the most, which is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. That is, or Mario Kart 8 in general. That's the, you know, what we feel is the definitive version of Mario Kart at the moment. So we have that still, and the Switch is not dying anytime soon, and that's going to be the main Mario Kart game on it for its lifetime, I'm sure. They don't have a need to make a new one yet until the next big system. This is just like Mario Run, where it's to go, and you have to give you a reason to keep playing it.
I think that's part of the reason I don't like it. It's because it's not targeted towards me, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's not targeted towards our style of play, necessarily. It's targeted towards people on the go that don't have consoles that just want to kind of play it and want to have a reason to play it each day. Oh, well, I get home from work after I eat dinner. I got a half hour that I'm going to lay in bed or lay on the couch. I'm going to play this for a half hour and unlock some characters or this or that. Get some points and play it every day. Or while I'm on break at work. You know,
or on
lunch.
The commute to and from work or whatever.
Exactly. Stuff like that. Give you those little bursts of good time to play to unlock more stuff or try to get shit. It's, you know, a mobile game. A typical mobile game type aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I do genuinely like the idea of having Mario Kart on the go in your pocket, though. Granted, we have the Switch for that. But your phone's easier.
In fact,
what
I have...
pocket is going to hold a Switch, damn it?
I mean, mine can hold a Switch.
Your pocket can hold a Switch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, what type of fucking pockets do you motherfuckers have?
Real pockets.
Yeah.
We got deep pockets, man. Hey, Patrick's got the deepest pockets out of all of us, don't you?
I was trying to make a joke, and then I learned y'all have some
not giant this particular
pockets.
Pair of pants, but I do have jeans that can hold the Switch and both Joy-Cons in one pocket.
Did you get a chance to look over all this yet, Patrick?
I mean, and it's a Nintendo mobile game, so I'm probably not too interested in it because I really don't like mobile games and the gacha aspect because for me, I want to keep playing, but it's like, oh, you can play again.
You can't.
Just give us a dollar and we'll let you play for another 30 minutes. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a cooldown and everything with this, so you're not going to be able to play it for extended periods of time.
Yeah, it looks like after you burn everything, you got to wait like an hour.
Yeah. Which is kind of the reason I stopped playing Pokemon Go really early on, because I went to work, ran all Pokeballs, and like, oh, you can get more Pokeballs. You have to drive around and go to a bunch of Pokestops, but you can get Pokeballs, or you can pay $5 to get, like, 50 of them.
I'm
like,
don't.
Nope. I'm not. Nope. I was
I
like, nope.
Don't.
And I immediately
right
uninstalled the game after
a
that
Pokestop.
And never touched it ever since.
Same here, Patrick. Vinny lives right next door to a Pokestop, so he didn't have to do that, but see, I don't have, went back when Pokemon Go was a thing. I had the game, and I tried it, and I ran the Pokeballs, and I stopped. I checked into, like, the same Pokestop 3 times, and it was at the park on the weekend when I go bike riding. That was it. I don't have one near me. The nearest one to me is a mile or two away. No, I'm not going to walk that far. There's none in my neighborhood. That was dumb. That's why I dropped it, too. I ran into Pokeballs, so.
Yeah,
I just got bored of it. I have literally 2 Pokestops in sandwiching my house.
See, yeah, that's got these type of games don't grasp our interest. That's really it. I think it's cool for the people that will enjoy these, though, that, you know, don't want to play on a console or don't have a console and just, oh, well, yeah, I'm gonna try this and just play this on the go as I'm, you know, on the way to work or on break at work. You know, the typical way you play these type of mobile games, it's probably designed perfectly to suit those type of people. Whereas us that like a full Mario Kart game, well, we have a Switch for that. Ben has a Wii U for that because he hasn't gotten Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on a Switch yet.
It's a planned purchase.
Okay, but when is that plan going to be done?
When it's not fucking $60.
All right, that'd be nice.
It's okay. We'll figure something out. I'll find it for you on Facebook, because I always do. Facebook or Letgo. I'll find it for $30 for you. How about that?
Okay.
All right, I'll do that. All right, so moving on. More Nintendo. We're 3 for 3 with Nintendo today. Patrick's got something for us.
Also, I'm not sorry, because I'm pretty sure Vinny still hasn't watched the Direct, so I'm pretty much going to be spoiling the entire Direct for him.
If Vinny hasn't watched it by now, it doesn't fucking matter. It's his fault, all right? He can take his headphones off. It's been over a week.
Yeah, it's
he
been over a week. But essentially, they released a Mario Maker 2 Direct on the 15th, so it's a week old. And basically, they're just taking the original Mario Maker and expanding on it. So now people don't have a reason to have a Wii U anymore. Because literally everything, almost every like thing, either has a sequel or it's been on the Switch at the moment.
We killed the Wii U.
There's a few Wii U exclusives that are, some Wii U games are not on the Switch yet, but we'll get to that later sometime, I don't know.
Yeah.
But essentially, they opened the Direct. It's like 17 minutes long. And I have notes here, because I always have notes for stuff like this.
See, Patrick's organized. He's the only one here that ever organizes it and has, you know, notes and fucking bullet points set up for himself and everything. Like, he does that. He makes sure it's fucking a good topic when he talks about it. We're lazy. We don't do that.
Yeah. I'm just going to show Jordan my bullet points. But essentially, they open the Direct up, and it's like, oh, here's this, the traditional. It's like, oh, here's how you make stuff, and it's like, oh, you know, put your blocks here, blah, 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 just showing quick rapid sessions how to make stuff. Then they added more stuff, like, for some reason, slopes. Everyone lost their shit over slopes when they saw that, because it wasn't in the original game.
You mean slopes?
Yeah, slopes.
Yeah, slopes.
It sounded like he was saying slokes.
No, slopes. No, he said slopes.
Okay.
You're sloke. You're sloke poke, loke.
Yeah, you're slope.
And then they have, like, you can do weird combination stuff, which I'm pretty sure you could do in the first game. But like you can have, for some reason, you have Bowser on a cloud just roaming around doing stuff. You can put like coins into cannons, coin into pipes, put chain chomps into question mark blocks. There's a bunch of stuff to, you know, mess with people. It's great
combinations.
And then essentially they brought the sun, so that's a new feature, Because Angry Sun from Mario 3, but now you can use that on all the aesthetics, which the new Super Mario Bros. U, like, sun aesthetic looks really weird. They also have the snake block, which I know that was in new Super Mario Bros. Wii. I don't remember if it was in Mario World or not, which I don't think it was. I think it was only in the new Super Mario Bros. They have, of course, on and off switches where, you know, certain blocks have to be turned on and off, and they showed some examples of how well that could work. And they had the seesaw, which, you know, obviously going to one side too much, it dips down in the lava and blah, blah, blah. And you got a swinging claw, which makes you go back and forth. And much other great stuff, which I'm not going to go all the way through because there's a lot to go over here.
That swinging claw looked fucking neat, though.
That is being very generous. There's a lot they added into this game, which is great. That's how a sequel should be. They added a dry bones armor thing where you stomp on dry bones, it's there, but actually you can get into its armor and you can protect yourself from, like, fire or hits and be perfectly fine. So I like how they're using that. They're using stuff from classic stuff and just adapting it into modern stuff to make it still, it's old, but it has a new fresh twist to it. So that's good. And they also had a bunch of weird new sound effects, and you can actually have more than one person making it with this two Joy-Con, so now you can have two people that are really good at making Mario Maker levels and just smash them together, and it's going to be a terrible little disaster. Mainly looking at Ross from Game Grumps, or former Ross, I don't know if he's there or not, but Ross is very infamous, for those of you who don't know. He's very infamous making some of the hardest Mario Maker levels in the first game. And the minute he showed all this stuff, he just tweets like, well, I'm gonna hope Nintendo invites me to an Invitational and I can make some of the stages. Like, no, I don't ever want to play over your stages. I didn't in the first one, but I saw them and I'm like, oh my god, how does this man make half this shit and get through it? They're fucking difficult. I recommend you look it up on YouTube later. They're really bad. Bad in an evil, cynical way. And then also other stuff here. You got like a Twister, the Icicles. You have a Red Yoshi that breathes fire for whatever reason. And of course you can add parachutes to enemies. So you can have just like a bunch of raining Goombas slowly come down on you. Or Koopa Troopers or whatever. They also had a Boom Boom, which I don't think he was in the first game. I didn't really dabble much in the first game because I really suck at creating stuff. Because I'm not very things. I think Jordan found some levels from Ross. Because Ross was a very terrible person for making bad levels.
I remember seeing those. Those are really bad. I remember seeing those levels. I'm laughing at something else. But I remember what you're talking about. Those got fucking ridiculous.
And something that the game 2 added that didn't know I wanted. Nobody knew they wanted until they showed it. Oh, here we go. They added story mode, which is great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh, hell yeah. That's I saw that. And I was like, I'm instantly sold on the story mode because they have like 100 plus courses. And essentially, you're just supposed to go through courses. They'll build Peach's castle back up because apparently that she doesn't know how to make her own castle and has to force Mario to do everything for her. So now you just have to do that. And you do like certain challenges and there's certain people. And the more like challenges and like goals you do, the bigger the castle gets and the more stuff you unlock for your Mario Maker or whatever. Because, add goals now to where, you can got to collect 50 coins for going to the end or stomp this many enemies or blah, blah, blah. Do something.
Give you an objective to unlock more stuff. Gives you more reason to play the game.
Essentially, yes.
More elements to play the game, not just, you know, creating it and playing other people's levels. Like, okay, well, let me do this first, then I'll play other people's levels.
And then they added more stuff, so instead of just having, like, your stereotypical regular stuff, they also added a desert aesthetic, snow, forest, sky, and a day and night thing. So, yeah, you can have... That was weird. Okay, you can have the daytime, which everyone knows, blah, 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 but also a nighttime, which, I don't think that was in the first one or not, but it's there and it's good. Because essentially, now you can have a moon and a sun. The sun is bad and tries killing you. The moon, however, it acts like the same thing as the sun and tries going after you. But if you touch it, it just kills every enemy on the screen, basically.
Wow.
So basically, moon is good, the sun is bad. Kind of like how my gaming...
Based on the sun in Mario 3.
Stuff works. Yeah, the sun's Mario 3.
You take the moon and you take the sun.
You take everything that seems like fun.
Rada, 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 rada.
Oh, okay, we're stopping now. That was a terrible rada
impression. I can't. Schnitz. Sorry.
Rada. And, yeah. And they all, with the day and night stuff, there's also, the day and night also affects certain levels and aspects. Is the sun, morning, sun, blah, 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 it's a normal Mario level. However, during the night, you can say, like, if you're on the regular ground during the night, the Goombas will randomly start floating in midair.
What?
For whatever reason, they just start magically float. And then if you're underground during the nighttime, everything gets upside down. So have fun playing that. And if you're in the sky during the nighttime, there's zero gravity. The forest, instead of having water that goes up and down, it's now poison. So it makes it a little bit more hard to go through there.
Wow. And then, jeez, that's a lot of twists. Literally.
And then and there's a few other stuff they do. And then there's also a new thing, new style, the Super Mario 3D World, which we saw when they first announced Mario Maker 2. So essentially, it's just the 2D scroller, but with the Mario 3D effect. So you can have, like, stuff from 3D World, like, you know, your cat suit back. You can have your clear pipes. You can have crates. Warp blocks, they're, like, warp you into different parts of the level. So you can have, like, essentially, you could be a real asshole and have, like, three warp blocks to start the level. And it's like, all right, you have to pick which way to go and create sort of, like, a maze. And if you pick the wrong warp block, you can get, like, sandwiched between like five or six boom booms or giant cheap cheeps trying to kill you.
I mean, they did shit like that with the regular pipes in Mario Maker 1.
Yeah, but this is a warp block now, so you just hit the block and it just randomly transports you in a place.
Cheap cheap boom boom.
So instead of a block, it's a instead of a pipe, it's a block now. It's nice. And they also have like spike blocks, and they also have like blinking blocks where it's sort of like, it's going to disappear, and then another set is going to appear, and then it's going to go back and forth on that.
Oh, I hated those.
You're going to like those.
Ugh.
And they also have, like, weird mushroom trampolines you can jump on. And then you have, like, piranha creepers, which are, like, long, snaky piranhas that just follow your movement. And then you better hope you don't get crushed. It's going to be terrible.
A little snaky.
And they also have this skip squeak, which is a weird mouse that, like, follows Mario's jumps. Every time you jump, he jumps. So you have to create some sort of weird, figure out how to get past that without taking damage, or like most other Mario players, just go through it and hope for the best. Tank the hit.
Hey, if you have the power up to do it.
And they also have the female Boom Boom of Pom Pom in here.
Is that actually her canon name?
Yeah, Pom Pom.
That's fucking stupid.
Oh, Boom Boom. You haven't heard the weirdest part they added in. They added in a Koopa Troopa car.
What?
Yeah.
The Koopa Troopa car.
I like that.
You can pretty much kill a Koopa and then take his car, and then you just go joyride through the rest of the world.
Yeah.
It's really
fantastic. What? That is...
And then there's online, obviously. And you can have, like, custom searches online to where you can, like, select, like, you can say, like, oh, I don't care, just give me a random level. Or if you want to be specific, and be like, oh, I want the Super Mario World, I want it normal, and I want a puzzle version. Or I want, like, expert from the original Mario and different custom search items, which I think it's going to be really help.
So wait, can you like you play tag it based on what type of level it is?
Yeah.
So if you make a puzzle level, you can tag it as a puzzle level for people to search.
You can do that.
That's actually really nice.
It is nice. And finally, they have good. They actually have ratings in this game, where you can either like it or give it a boo. You can either give it a like or a dislike. So essentially, You can just pretty much dislike a level that's really just not fun, it's just bad, you can just dislike it and it'll probably not appear as much in people's feeds, which I think is very nice, because people
hopefully
need ratings
so they know their levels are bad. Mario Challenge too.
Essentially, yes.
Because a lot of the harder difficulties are just bullshit levels that you have to either be a super genius at Mario or get lucky.
Essentially, yeah. And then there's little thing called maker points. So like the more levels you upload and the more people that play it, you get like maker points. And then you can also have like customize your Mii on there with like Mario aesthetics. Like you can have a Mario hat, a Mario outfit, a Bowser hat. Essentially, so I want to make your Mii stylish.
So I have a question about the maker points.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they like for spending, or is it like you know, basically like upvotes or something like that on Reddit, where it goes towards like your credibility as like a level maker.
I'm guessing it's more like a reputation type thing.
I would assume so.
Because Nintendo
like
did something similar for Flipnote on the DSi, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
Because I would assume that's how it is.
So it'll probably be a system like people with the most points tend to have their new levels, you know, probably pushed to the top quicker.
Probably.
Okay.
But we won't know until the game actually comes out.
Yeah, because I'm assuming Maker Points just
or
like,
until E3.
If they go into it like that. Which I hope they do, because I...
Well, the Treehouse stuff, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. And then also, what's great is because with the online stuff, they actually added there's a multiplayer mode. So you can essentially create a room, invite your friends in there, and you can either try to play a level, like a really hard level that you can't get past, and have your friends help you blow through that. Or you can do a versus. So basically, you can just be a giant asshole and say the four of us are playing. We can have... We can just dick around and then have Jordan beat the really hard part of the level, and then one of us get to the end, and then we get the credit for it. It's really good.
Yeah, that would happen. I can see that happening. Or we'll let Vinny sit there and just, you know, over and over again fuck with it until he finally gets to the other side, then someone else just instantly kill him and go and take his place.
Yeah, essentially you can do that.
That's how to make Vinny rage quit.
And you also get, like, different ratings. Like, the more levels you complete, the higher, like, your rating will be. So... Showed like in the direct show like from a someone went from D to a C, so probably just increase that the more you have friends and play with and blah blah blah. And then essentially that was pretty much wraps it up as the bare basic of it. And they said it'll be releasing June 28th of this year, obviously, and it'll be $60. However, if you want to get that digitally in a 12 months Nintendo Online to play online, it's just $69.99, so it's just about $10 more. So it'd be $70 for a new game in a Nintendo Online, which is, like, not bad. Then for some reason, they introduced a voucher thing at the end for $99.99, which basically gives you, lets you buy two available
any
Switch
two games
or
on a Switch store.
Whatever they allow. So you essentially buy Super Mario Maker and buy Super Smash Brothers for $99.99 compared to the $119.99, saving you, like, almost $20 right there.
Yeah.
It's vouchers, 20% off discount, basically.
It's nice for people that, like, having Switch and they don't really care about physical. This voucher's nice for them because they can just pretty much just get that and buy the two games they really want right away with it.
My favorite part about that was right after that direct was done and then all of it was announced and everything was done. The same day, Twitter account was like, "Hey, I got two free Nintendo passes here to give away. RT to enter the giveaway. You might get a Nintendo pass." You know, I remember entering that because you tagged me in it. It was cool.
Yeah. So essentially, this is pretty much a really much more upgraded version of Mario Maker, which I'm really excited for, because I liked the idea of it. I was just bad at creating levels and didn't really have time to do it, even though it was really...
I'm not creative enough to make great levels.
Yeah.
But from the sound of it, the passes, you can get them to gift somebody whatever game that they want as
that
like
too.
A birthday or
yes.
Christmas present. So that is a good use of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can use them up to a year from when you originally buy them. They expire after a year.
Wow, that lasts a lot longer than I expected.
Yeah, they last a year, and you don't have to use them both at the same time. You get two, but you don't have to use them at the same time. You can use them whenever for any game in the store.
Wow.
So it'd be a waste to get something that's less than the value of the ticket, but you can still use it on a cheaper game. It'd just be a waste. It's basically, okay, give me that game. That's they instantly give you that game, which is, you know, it's not bad.
I mean,
it's a good idea.
Again, if you use it as a gift for somebody for their birthday or Christmas or whatever
exactly.
Holiday.
It's perfect.
It doesn't matter if it's...
They can go pick out their game.
Yeah, because you're guaranteed to make them happy.
Exactly. That is exactly it.
So I'm excited for Mario Maker 2. I really, really am pumped to get the game because knowing how good it is and how much stuff that's really intriguing me with it.
Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like it's a full version. I think they may have tested the water with the Wii U version, and now that it fucking exploded and did so good, they've made this full-on, like, all right, we're going to go balls of the wall here. We're going to do a full version of it. And now there's no reason to own your Nintendo Wii U, throw it in the trash can, or give them to me, please. I will take them.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the future of this stuff that holds for it, because, you know, I really want to play the game. I want to see how all this stuff works, and being able to play online with friends, that's another big step up. You can essentially just make this a series for people that don't live together. You just basically play random levels and just upload into a series and just get angry with each other.
Yeah, you could do that.
It's going to be a good old time.
Hey, Jordan, I know what we're doing starting in the summer.
I'm scared.
He has to get the game first, though.
Yeah, I do.
You're probably going to get it before me, if we're going to be realistic.
I doubt it, but we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, well then, moving on. Ben has something quite epic for us.
Yeah, so to move away from Nintendo, Epic Game Store has had quite a fair share of shit shows, basically. So, at the current moment, there is a big sale going on the Epic Game Store, the Epic Mega Sale. This caused some games to get pulled. So this article from IGN says, discount comes courtesy of Epic itself. So it's $10 off on all games priced $14.99 or higher. Came from Epic itself. They didn't okay it with any of the developers. So the developers were taking a profit loss on sales of their games throughout that time because they were all $10 off. Yeah, unknowingly. And everyone who purchased an unreleased game prior to May 16th, $14.99 and above, will get a $10 refund on the game when it comes out. The sale is also offering several games up to 75% off and is giving away a free game every week until the sale ends on June 13th. This week, it's the narrative-based Adventure Stories Untold, blah, blah, blah. Everything was going fine up until Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 disappeared from the storefront, as well as Borderlands 3. What Epic told Kotaku and IGN and anybody who asked, basically, was that Paradox, who is the company working on Vampire the Masquerade, chose not to participate in the sale. So basically, it's just a clusterfuck. They put a bunch of games on sale. Basically, from what everybody's able to tell, it was Epic themselves doing it and not any of developers, I believe. Yeah, so one of the messier parts of the sale has impacted Hades from Supergiant Games, which launched in early access on Epic Game Store in December. Currently listed for $19.99 at its full price and $9.99 for its sale price, but according to Eurogamer, was initially listed at the incorrect price of $6.99 after offering a 25% discount on top of Epic's deal. But soon its price was increased to $14.99, with its base price going to $24.99. So the price increase was on accident, because Epic fucked up the way the discounts were working. I didn't tell anybody that the $10 off all games was going to be happening. And on top of that, so I was listening to some Castle Super Beast earlier, and long story short, in other countries like Russia and stuff like that, where their currency doesn't really mean much of anything, they weren't doing proper conversions, basically, like Steam or GOG would do, which were making games dirt cheap to the point that they were worth nothing. Further fucking over developers and publishers. So yeah, that was a clusterfuck in itself. And then, going back to Pat from Castle Super Beast, he bought 5 games, and he was not allowed to buy any more games after that. Account is blocked from making purchases.
Because there's no cart.
He bought 5 games, ranging from $5 to $50. An Epic Store flagged his account for being possibly fraudulent. Why would they do this? They don't have a fucking cart, like Jordan just said.
Maybe because it was his account specifically?
So far, I think this is the only story that's come out about that, where this has happened. But it's like, how do you make a storefront, a digital storefront, and not put in a fucking cart? What a bunch of dumbasses, really.
Piece of shit.
Like, this entire sale process is just...
That sums it up. Everything's falling apart.
That was
apart.
My remote. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
Piece of shit.
I could agree with that. Yep. Yep.
Because honestly, it takes a lot of things to fuck up a deal, to fuck up discounts and stuff like this. It means you obviously don't know what you're doing. It's just, Because honestly, that shows bad practice if they're flagging your account because you're buying stuff. That is really dead. Who does that? Oh, we're gonna go and yeah, we're gonna go store. And spend money. Oh, we're gonna block you because you spent too much money here and bought too many games. A lot of, that means if Steam did this, there'd be hundreds and hundreds of accounts banned during the summer sale. There'd be loads of everything.
Well,
everyone would.
Here's
just...
the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. The difference is that it was because it was five transactions, not buying five games, but five different transactions. Steam, you can buy five different games, but you're not going to have five different transactions because they have a cart.
No, yeah. Card thing.
Like, they have an actual working storefront. Epic just put theirs together because it's like, well, you know, Fortnite's popular. We got a lot of people on here. Why not?
So that means it's just fucking awful then. If they don't have a cart system or anything like a normal store should have, they just slap this shit together like the PlayStation Classic. Except this one's a bigger debacle. Apparently, Epic just doesn't want to have their stuff on Steam, so they're like, oh, we can have our own stuff and make our own money. That works. And then not tell people that their stuff's going on sale, and then they have to pull everything off. I've never heard that before. I've never heard anything like this before in my life, actually. I don't remember it ever be happening to, like, in the actual stores or on Steam or any other online marketplace where you can purchase digital video games.
Yeah, Epic Games has definitely botched this. That's all I can say. I don't have a whole lot I can input with the topic besides... They've completely botched trying to get their reputation going well.
Botchamania. Botchamania.
Botchamania.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Minus five star.
That was a certain pay-per-view that happened earlier.
Oh, that was a terrible one. We'll talk about that not in the podcast. Moving on, we have a bonus topic for the day, and it's just more so a quick... acknowledgement, and everyone's going to talk about it for a minute, probably. Minecraft has sold 176 million copies and may be the best-selling game ever. As of their 10 years of Minecraft, they released some new AR version of the game called Minecraft Earth, and that also they announced that they've sold 106 million copies worldwide. Honestly, that's fucking amazing, but also it's Minecraft, so it's not surprising. Everyone plays it. Everyone and their kid and their dog and their mom and everyone plays it. There's literally an old guy on YouTube that does ASMR and he's like a 60-year-old man. He does ASMR and he plays Minecraft. And it's not necessarily like whispering in your ear. He's just like, hey, I'm playing some Minecraft today. I'm your old man. I'm playing some Minecraft. And people find that relaxing. Just shit like that. Everyone plays Minecraft.
Yeah.
And he's playing it with a touchpad, mind you.
Oof.
People yelled at him in the comments saying, stop playing with a touchpad. He said, well, I would, but it's just I'm comfortable with a touchpad and it works for me. So.
This hurts my brain. This hurts my brain so much.
Everyone plays Minecraft. Now, back a long time ago, when Minecraft was like a trending thing that everyone played and whatever, I didn't play it to spite the trend, but then at some point, I liked it because Chris bought me a copy, which is still the copy that I use now, the Java version that I use. He bought it for me way back in the day so we would play together, and this was back before he could host servers easily. We had to use fucking Hamachi. That was terrible. Instant viruses everywhere, but, Minecraft is good, and we all know it at this point. We love Minecraft. So, I'm not
speak for yourself, asshole.
I mean, everyone but Ben. No, I'm kidding. Even Ben, we all love it. But yeah, I just thought that was cool. As we speak, I'm running a server right now. I've got a server up that some friends are playing on right now. So, that's pretty much it. Fuck Ben, and it's time to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about what we've been up to. Alright, welcome back, folks. It's time to talk about what the f**k we've been up to. So I'll start us off. I picked up a little bit more Metroid Prime 2 again. I stopped for a week last week, and I picked it up again this week. I finished off the first major area of the game, the Aegon Wastes, or Wastus, as I always say. And I normally don't play games through the speakers on my TV or the setup or anything. I usually just use my headset because I don't want everyone to hear it and it'd be loud. But that particular time, I wasn't on Discord, no one was around. I just felt like playing it through my speakers at a rather comfortable volume. So I did the boss fight of the area, and I just for some reason, playing on the GameCube, being that little bit more difficult with the controls, and the sound quality, because I have a really good stereo system for it, just everything combined, it felt like a fucking epic boss fight, and I haven't felt that in a while playing the game, so that was really fun. It was just awesome. It was like, all right, this is badass. I'm fucking loving this. So that was good. I really enjoyed that. That put a smile on my face as I was doing it. I finished the first area. About to go around, collect some pickups, and go on to the next area, the Torvis Bog. Besides that, I've been playing, like I mentioned earlier, Minecraft and some Terraria. So, hosting a server, I'm hosting a Minecraft server as well as a Terraria server. Been playing both quite a lot recently. I've been playing both, or been playing Minecraft with buddy Chris, Fire, Vinny's been in and out, Ben's been in and out, Patrick even hopped in for a second. Everyone's been in on it, basically. We've all been playing together, doing a lot of stuff, having fun, just got a good world set up, we're all building houses, all sorts of stuff. It's really cool. Same thing with Terraria, except it's just Fire, Beck, Vinny, and myself trying to get Vinny to learn the ropes of Terraria. I'm not very far above Vinny in terms of knowledge in the game, because this is only like my third world, so. Whereas Fire and Beck have played hours. Beck's got like 300-400 hours in the game. Fire has like 1,500. So they have a lot of hours and they know the game. But I'm hosting a server for both lately that we've all been playing on. It's very fun. Very, very good. Very addictive. And then also, I've been playing a bit of Call of Duty World at War Custom Zombies. I don't know why I had to say that weird, but it wouldn't come out as Codball.
Look, dude, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. If it's shit weird, then you know what, son? You gotta say that shit weird.
Maybe that's why people look at me weird when I tell them it's Tree Fitty.
That's not why people look at you weird.
No,
they do that regardless.
It's because of the cancerous tumor on my forehead. I've been playing Call of Duty World at War Zombies with my nephew. Finally got my ports working, so I found out that when I was trying to port forward, let's say for the Terraria server specifically, I was trying to forward ports and get that set up to where people could connect. It wasn't working, and so I was like, wait a minute. When I checked the IP address of the ports that were being forwarded on my router, I was like, wait a minute, that does not line up with my actual IP address that I just checked. So I went and double-checked again. It's like, motherfucker, I had the wrong IP address set. So I typed the IP address right. Instantly, they connected as I was doing it. I hit apply. Instantly, they're like, oh, shit, we're in. It's like, oh. So I figured the same thing applies to Call of Duty World at War, because I haven't been able to connect and play with my nephew for the past fucking ever because I couldn't get it to work. Magically, first shot, it worked. And both of us were like, holy shit. So needless to say, we spent the night playing some World at War Zombies. We did a couple maps. Very fun. I'm very glad I got that set up. That means I don't have to buy a Steam version of the game anymore. I can use my copy that I bought at Goodwill fucking 4 years ago, 3 years ago, however long ago it was. So I'm happy about that. And last thing is, I just a couple days ago picked up a PlayStation 3 for our buddy Beck, because I thought it was going to be a backwards compatible one for $30. It's a fat model. And I just asked the lady, I was like, hey, could you send me a picture of the model number? It should be on the back. It'll be a white sticker. And she went ahead and did that. And I swear to God, I saw CECHA01 as a model number. But, you know, picture's a little bit blurry because she has a shitty phone or something. I don't know. It wasn't the most clear. And I just thought I saw CECHA01, which is one of the backwards compatible models. That's the one that I have. No, I go and pick it up and it's awesome. You know, everything's great. It's only $30, so I'm not out any money. You know, it's a good deal for a working PS3, but I get home and it's a CECHH01, which is not backwards compatible at all. It is one of the newer fat models. So on the bright side, they said they never used it really. It was some people in a rich area, they just never used it. It's been sitting around in their closet, they said. I went and looked inside it with a flashlight. There's fucking zero dust in there. It is squeaky, sharp, clean, so they really just never used it. It's like a brand new PS3, but it's not backwards compatible, so it's not the one he wanted. And I felt bad, because I drove a half hour to go get it for him, and just got him all excited, and it turned out not to be. So, granted, it is still a good deal for PS3, but and I'm not out any. I'm glad to have another fat PS3 if need be. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to look into modding and look into installing or jailbreaking it to where I'm pretty sure it can load PS2 games off the hard drive via emulation, not necessarily with the hardware emulation, but like their actual emulator thing. I'm pretty sure that was possible to do on any PS3, not just the backwards compatible ones. I could be wrong, but I'm going to look into it regardless and see if I can. Because if so, then I will go ahead and mod it for him and set it up to where he can at least play PS2 games off a hard drive. Because that was really what he wanted. He said he's okay with it if I can do that. But this only comes with a 40 gig drive, so it's like me. But yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just that and the video games I'm playing lately, and that's kind of really it. A PlayStation 3 is cool, but I feel bad for Beck because he was excited and that turned out to be a cuck.
That's another part of the vlog that I just realized we can do. What? Because you brought up World of War, I was like, after I get that hard drive installed and downloaded that, you should figure out how to transfer like all the files that you have on there, like copy them and put them on my things.
I have them on a USB stick already that I gave to Colin. It's right up here. I transferred them to his computer so we can just transfer them to yours.
Yeah, but didn't you add more since you did that, or?
Mm-mm, I did it just about a few weeks ago.
Okay, yeah, because I need to do that, because all my ones I have on mine are on my other computer.
Yeah, no, I can just give you all mine, and you can have them all again.
Yeah, I'd rather
copy them over to you.
You give me all yours, that way I can just double-check to see which ones I don't have, and I can transfer the ones that you don't, that I have that you don't, which I don't think there's very, hardly any, if even that, and just put them on my computer to have my definitive edition back.
Exactly, there you go.
Because you're being stupid and don't want to play Lost Town for whatever reason.
Wait, Lost Town?
Yeah, the video Didrik and I made, it was great.
Stop. If it's a video you and Didrik made, no. Nobody needs to watch that.
I don't want to play it.
It's a World of War map that Didrik recorded that we played together.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I don't want to play it.
Why not? You need to experience it, though.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I don't want to.
Just do it as a gag video, at least.
Okay, maybe that.
We'll be gagging on something. Hey.
All right, well, how about you, Vinny?
Well, you mentioned it already, but we've been playing Terraria together. It's my first time playing. You know what? I'm enjoying it a lot more than I expected to, but there are some things that have been, like, really bugging me, and the only way to fix it is to spend time on my own. But from what I've heard from you, Beck, and Fire, it's not as fun single player as it is multiplayer. So I'm kind of reluctant to go run around on my own trying to figure shit out.
Well, what we can do is you and I can make a new world, because you can make multiple worlds and characters. And you can start a new character, have a separate one, and you and I can make a new world, you know, from scratch and bring you through the normal way from the beginning and get you used to it. That way that'll help you get the ropes more, just like I did, and I can show you how to craft stuff and all that type of crap.
Yeah, that probably would help a lot.
That would help a lot, I'm sure. Because that's what I wound up doing, was just starting from the very beginning with Beck last year.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long. It takes probably a good half playthrough to get you completely up to par with understanding how the game works.
Okay.
Once you get to hard mode, which is like a halfway point in the game, kind of, then you understand it.
I think we just started hard mode?
Yes, we did.
Right.
Once you beat the wall of flesh, that enables hard mode, and that adds other stuff and adds new elements. And you're basically starting over because all of the shit that you had sucks, and now you need better stuff. Because everything gets harder, stronger, new enemies, new areas, shit like that.
I think Fire just got me the spider spawning staff.
Yeah, because you're a summoner.
Yeah. And I like playing summoner for some reason. I didn't think I would, but I have been.
It's a good way to play, especially if you have multiple people. Because you can stay up to the side.
As long as somebody else is doing the tank, which Beck is, I can stick a little further back. Although sometimes I do stupid shit and get too close and get killed.
Yeah. That happens.
But, yeah. Especially when we were doing Wall of Flesh, I got caught on some of the terrain.
Which, it wound up being okay, though, because he died right before we killed him, so it wasn't a big loss.
Yeah.
That was inexperience. He didn't know to stay on the platform. We didn't
push. The problem is, the screen that I play on, it's hard to tell sometimes. It's hard to tell sometimes what some of the terrain is looking like, especially if it's like darker colors on darker colors. Like, if there's the lava in the way, I can obviously see based on the way the lava is shaped what's where. But if it's some of the dark blocks on the dark background, like what I got caught on, I can't see that. And hell, when we when Beck made the floating mushroom biome, I can't see the actual platform. The only way I have even a chance of seeing it is the parts that are glowing from the mushrooms growing on it. So my biggest issue is I need to find a way to raise the brightness without, like, blinding myself with the brightness on my monitor. The other thing that I've been considering trying is putting it on the big monitor and playing with a controller. I don't know how well the game plays with controller, but I've been playing with mouse and keyboard, so I probably am going to just stay with that.
Yeah, that usually is the best setup for it. I mean, I'm most comfortable with mouse and keyboard. Beck is, and he's on laptop. He's got a weird setup, but it's like Minecraft. You kind of need a mouse and keyboard to be really comfortable with it. It's kind of awkward.
No, you don't. Use a trackpad. Don't be a coward. All right.
Patrick's tried it. Patrick can vouch.
I played World of Warcraft with a trackpad once, and I managed.
That's different, though. It's not a 3D game, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is a 3D game.
A top-down game. World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
And that, like, I thought that was like a top-down type of MMO game.
No.
The Warcraft is, but not the MMO.
Warcraft is a strategy game.
Oh, never mind.
World of Warcraft is an MMORPG. What you're thinking of is Diablo, Jordan.
Probably. But, I've also been joining you guys in, Minecraft. Since we're on the topic of games we've been playing together, apparently.
Yeah.
I've
been hosting a server for Minecraft in Terraria.
Yeah, I rage quit hard one night, though.
That was okay. That was a bad world. It's all right. We've got a better world now.
You know what? It wasn't terrible. I kind of liked the way that we had that set up. Obviously, the new one is better, and I still have not made a house as of yet. But the old world, I kind of liked that house in the woods thing that we had.
Yeah.
But I just was done playing when... Chris burned my shit.
Everyone was done with that world. When Chris burned your shit, he was done with that world. It just didn't feel right. This world feels very good, though. Yeah. Everyone's got their own houses. Well, you still got to build one, but everyone's building their own houses in separate places, all out of each other's sight, kind of. Yet, I'm building a railway system to make sure everyone's connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Fire's got the central hub ready, so everyone can access it and share files and share stuff that they need. All that cool stuff.
I mean, like, the one time I joined your server for, like, 2 minutes and I accidentally fucked something up that fired in and then left.
Whoops.
Yeah, he bitched about it, too. He was like, okay, stop fucking up my shit. And we're like, yeah, that was Patrick. And he's like, fuck Patrick.
Why? What? I don't even remember what I did. I think I was, like, running and I jumped on some wheat carrots. And I'm like, that was fire stuff.
Jumped
like,
on his,
I didn't
he
do
jumped
it.
On his,
and I quit.
So when he jumped on farm, when you have stuff planted, if you jump on the dirt that's been soiled or dug, it messes it up and makes it turn into normal dirt. And he has to go and reuse a tool to remake it stuff to be able to put in the ground.
I was using a trackpad. That was my defense, and I can't see shit with a trackpad.
I mean, it's okay, because he got over it.
I know he does. He's probably just going to tell me he's going to call me a piece of shit next time, but that's it.
Hey, Patrick, you're a piece of shit.
I'm like, yeah.
I don't know how to do Fire's accent. He doesn't really have much of an accent. It's just a deep voice and a slight change of voice. I don't know. So Vinny had to go early, very quite abruptly, and he probably won't be back. So, yeah, he's been playing Minecraft on the server. Apparently he's been doing some sort of anime shit, as he said in the description, or in the docs. So some anime shit, probably watching anime and anime shit. And he's also been recording a lot more Ocarina of Time for his channel and uploading it. And Yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, he's also been working on Kingdom Hearts, bringing that back, I believe, too. So, yeah, that's all Vinny's been up to. Ben, what the fuck have you been up to?
Well, I bought a Game Boy Advance SP. Blue one. Cobalt blue one. Complete. $65. Wasn't a bad deal, actually.
That's actually a really good deal.
And so I decided, since I bought something that I got on Christmas of 2003, play one of the games that I got on Christmas of 2003, and that is Yu-Gi-Oh! The Sacred Cards. Now, it's a pretty standard Yu-Gi-Oh! Game, except the one difference is that cards have type monster cards have type advantages over each other. And what that means is, like, a thunder monster can destroy a water monster, even if the water monster is more powerful than that thunder monster, just based off of being a more powerful element. So it's a nice little twist. Yeah, basically kind of like Pokemon. It's a nice little twist on the standard Yu-Gi-Oh formula, but other than that, pretty much everything is just about the same. I don't think there's any fusions, but there are like ritual summons and whatnot. So that's cool. Fun game. I've also been playing Minecraft with those guys. I've just been kind of doing my own thing and not really sticking with what they've been doing. I've been working on my old my own house just for the hell of it. I don't really have that many plans for it. I just want to make a giant house because I can.
I mean, that's just a giant building. That's what Minecraft's for. Do whatever you want.
But that's been fun. Went back to Sonic Generations. Just really wanted to play a Sonic game, and that was the first one that came to mind, because it's kind of like it's the best of, you know, everything you'd want out of a Sonic game, right?
Yeah.
Got your good classic levels, your good 3D levels and whatnot. So played that, had a lot of fun with it. I'm not done with it yet. I'm pretty close to being done with it, which was faster than I actually anticipated. I think I've gotten through that in almost close to the end. I've only maybe played 2 hours of it the past week.
Yeah, it's a really quick game if you don't do all the challenges.
Yeah, I'm only doing like one challenge for each level just to unlock the boss gate, and I've been skipping cutscenes too.
Yeah, that's probably why then.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm feeling nostalgic. Even more nostalgic than I was before. So I installed Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. Been playing that as well. It's still one of my favorite games. There are a plethora of problems with it control-wise. But as far as my favorite games go, it's still definitely up there for sure. I don't think it's ever going to leave that spot just because of how much fun I had with it as a kid, even despite the fact that control-wise it can be kind of janky at times, you know. And I've also been playing UFC 3. I have been doing my career. I think I am 11-3 or something like that. My last loss was to Gokhan Saki, which, you know, hey, if you're going to take a loss, take a loss from a good kickboxer. But
that way it's not embarrassing.
Yeah, that way it's not embarrassing.
That way you can't easily say it's just because you suck.
Yeah, it's also because I suck, though. But even though I sucked, it's been quite fun to just be able to punch people's faces and kick them and all that. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
All right. It's not bad. How about you then, Patrick?
Sweet. I've been playing Tetris 99 again, only because they had this special event during the weekend of the 17th through the 19th, where if you play... Basically, if you get 100 points in Tetris Online, then you get to unlock the Game Boy Color skin variant. Which, that's just easy to do, is get 100 points. Even if you suck, it'll take, like, maybe an hour at most, hour and a half, depending. Probably skilled players probably took them, like, 30 minutes or less. But yeah, I did that. Sure. I actually did take it into account. Because I think I like to be, consider myself to be a little bit average. So that took me about 13 games to do, on average, about 13 or so. And I did keep track of the score I got a lot of times, because the most I got was a 20, and I think that was in the top 10. And the lowest I got was a 4, because people are online are assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my Game Boy Color thing, and I was happy, and I did that all in one night, so I was like, okay, I'm happy with this.
I was going to ask how that looks.
I started playing that because I just really wanted that sweet skin, and that DLC is also fun. You can just practice. It's a good way to force Jordan into the game. I just bring down, and he could just do the practice against bots and figure out and say it's not as bad as he think it is.
I'm sure it's not. I'm just being stubborn. Because I don't want to... I'm being stubborn. You know, at this point, it's just for the meme. You know, like, do it for the vine, do it for the meme.
And I also got a game that I still need to pay for. It was a Citus Alpha for the Switch. Because it looked interesting, and someone was offering me it for physical. I just got to pay him back for it. But I got that, and it's an interesting rhythm game. Where you're supposed to... Essentially, you can either use a controller or a touchscreen. Which is funny, because he sent me like a... pointers.
Fucking two paragraph thing.
Yeah, and the pointers, and one of the things is like, do not use controller. Except I've been using the dock, when it's undocked, he's been using the Joy-Cons. And I've been fine with it. I can see why he would rather have me use such controls. It's a lot easier to do stuff. It's just, there's a lot more going on when you're using the controllers and you have to use throw your fingers around and you can screw up easier. But I tried both, and I don't know, I can do both. I just need to practice the controller, because in case I ever... do you want to show it off or stream it? Whenever that is, I can
you don't
at least
want to
have
do
that.
Terrible.
Just be decent with it, rather than look like an asshole like I usually do when showing that off. But it's an interesting rhythm game. That's like nice music I enjoy. Because he bought the collector's edition. Then decided actually I don't want to wait that long. Just bought the digital version. He's like, hey, you want this one? I already have the game. I just want the soundtrack out of it now. I'm like, okay. So that all worked out for all of us. That's just another Switch game I added to my physical version. And then...
that's good shit.
After that, that's all I would have been up to if we were just did the podcast on Monday and whatnot. Because yesterday, Team Sonic Racing was released, and I bought the Switch version because I need more Switch games. Because I don't have enough physical ones. I'm trying to get... to my goal of have at least 100 physical Switch games by the end of the year, which I'm at like 65, 66 now. So I'm very close to it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. And that's just physical. And I have a few of them digital. It's just that they just came with codes. So it's weird. But Team Sonic Racing, that's a really good game. It's a really good game.
Seemed like it.
I enjoyed it. Enjoying what I'm playing of it so far. I went through the story mode. I'm at like chapter 4. And essentially they have like, you know, your three characters, your three different types. You have your speed, technical or technique, and power. And each one has their own special unique abilities that makes them different. Like speed, obviously you go really fast, and they also have like this blast radius. So I didn't really look into it, but it said something about being able to use a small little blast radius and whatnot to knock people away. Technique, you can basically go off-road and they don't slow down at all whatsoever. So if you accidentally get like on ice or on grass or on lava, if you're a technique character, you'll just be driving normally. You don't slow down whatsoever. And then for power characters, there's like little obstacles, like little motor bugs and like construction work signs. And if you're a power character, you can just drive right through that and get 10 rings from it. And yes, they do have rings, which basically act like coins in Mario Kart, where the more you collect, the faster you can get. But you're not limited. So at one point, I had like almost 300 rings as Big the Cat. Because yes, I played as I main Big the Cat.
Of course.
It's so fun. Like, because like they have a little... Boom. The interesting thing that I have that Mario Kart doesn't is like each character has like little unique dialogue for stuff that happens. And like, say like, if you do something good... they like have like the little speech bubble on top and blah blah blah. Like I remember when Big gets hit, he says, "My car has a boo-boo." So cute, and it's really good, and I love it.
My car has a boo-boo.
And they also and they also give you like challenges to do, like you can drift and collect rings and drift through like these little obstacles, and like you get a certain amount. Let me tell you, getting platinum on some of those is a bitch to get. I can only get silver on a lot of them. There's only one I've been able to platinum. Which I'm surprised at. But yeah, story mode is good. You start off with your Team Sonic, you know, your Sonic as speed, Tails as technique, and then Knuckles as power. Which it got a new, if you ever do play it, and you're used to the old Knuckles, it did get a new voice actor for Silver and Knuckles, I know for sure, at the moment. I think everyone else is relatively the same for now. I have to play through it more. But then after you complete Chapter 1, then you unlock Team Amy, which is Amy, Big the Cat, and then Chao, which is four different Chaos, like the light and dark version Chaos that I guess you level them, the ones from Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, when you level them up all the way. And there's the Chao that shows up in between cutscenes from Sonic Generations, or not cutscenes, like when the level's loading, which I know he's not from, I'm pretty sure he didn't originate from that, but that's just where I remember him faintly from. And then the original Chao. Just four of them just driving, it's weird and interesting. And after that, then you unlock Team Vector, for whatever reason. Doesn't have SPO or Charmy, instead it has Blaze and Silver. Because, okay, that's weird. And then, of course, there's Team Dark, mm-hmm. which has, you know, E-102, Gamma. I know, it has stupid robot names. I believe that's Omega from this Team Dark. It's basically the same team from Sonic Heroes, you know, your Rouge, your Shadow, and then your Omega, and then your Eggman team, which he doesn't have his two other teammates there yet in story mode. He only has Eggman and two Egg Pawns, which the other two teammates for him are Metal Sonic and one of the bosses from Sonic Lost World. It starts with this Z, fucking escaped my mind because I didn't really play Sonic Lost World. Zavik, yeah, that's who it was. It was Zavik. So, yeah, you can essentially all those. I'm pretty sure the viewers or people can figure out who's the power, who's the speed, and who's the technique of each of those teams. But another interesting thing I like about it is you can customize your vehicles. Like, you get mod parts, like coins. You put in 10 coins, you get like a part or whatever in this little thing. And I've been spending like over 500 things I've unlocked and through story mode. And you get like parts that either like do different stuff for your stats. So it's kind of like Mario Kart in that sense. But you just have to technically gamble and hope for the best. Because there's like regular parts and then there's legendary parts, which there's no differences in stats. It's just legendary parts makes it gold. So essentially you can just have like a solid gold vehicle on one of your characters if you really wanted to. And then you can also customize the color of it to an extent. You can't just freely choose whatever color. You have to use like whatever palette from other players. So you can use like either like Metal Sonic's color palette on your vehicle, or Blaze's, or Sonic's, or blah blah blah, or other themes from like different levels. Because I know they have the Mirage Saloon one I unlocked not too long ago. Well, at least you can customize like how it looks. Like in different customizations, like you have like a plastic coat on it, or have a metallic paint, or just a regular metal paint, or just airbrush paint, or blah blah blah, all over your vehicle. So like, it's a lot more, doesn't sound as good when you're limited to the color palette, but like you can pretty much customize it as much as you want to an extent, so you can actually make it look pretty and whatnot in each different parts. Not only does it make it look different, it also attributes to their stats and whatnot. So essentially, if you're having trouble, you can just pretty much like grind it out and get different parts and test them out and see whichever best fits for you. So, and I haven't really messed online, so I don't know how that is, but essentially I've been enjoying what I've been playing for single player and story mode so far. I was up until like almost 6 in the morning just playing it when I got home from work. Man, it's a really good game. It's not, I think it's only $40, brand new too.
That's not bad.
That is not bad at all. It's a really fantastic, solid game.
I mean, the previous game was, so this should be on par, if not better, you would hope.
And I also did see, like, at least in local, if you don't want to do teams, you don't have to. You can just do, like, regular Mario Kart style where it's, like, everyone against each other. But with the team mechanics, I actually like how they did it. Because it's not as wonky or weird. It actually works well. Because essentially, you can, like, if you see your teammate expand or get hit by something, you can do, like, a little drifting boost, and then automatically give them, like, a quick boost to get back in the race immediately. That way they're not stuck there trying to rev their engine and go slowly. Yeah. And then if a certain teammate's ahead, The head can have, leave a trail like a boost of how they've been driving. As long as you follow that trail for a while, you can get off and then you can have a boost for yourself to get back up to them. And then you can transfer. And then something I enjoyed is they use the wisps as items. You know, you have your original rocket, your block, your whatever, black hole. And if, say, like, you're in, for some reason, you're in third place and you get a boost, but then your teammate's in ninth place, you can just hold your item up for offer, and then whichever teammate needs it the most, they can take it immediately from you, and then they can have the boost. So you can basically transfer items to teammates that really need it and whatnot. And this helps build up your team's special, where if you hit ultimate, it pretty much gives you, like, a giant star. Makes you invincible and goes really fast. And if you hit somebody in front of you, like a rival, and then it, like, lets your special go on for a little bit longer. So there's a lot of teamwork involved if you want to succeed. And they do have rankings for, like, you know, whatever place you finish, because whatever team has the most points at the end wins, as you would figure. Because, like, if you get, like, say you land in sixth place, you get, yeah, you get 10 points. Hold on. I'm trying to read how the hell I had. Okay, here's how I had this. So say if you get, like, sixth place, you get, like, 7 points. Like, obviously 12 is only 1 point, 11th is 12th, 10th is 3rd, and so on and so forth. And basically it does that all the way till 3rd, where you get 10. Second place gets 15, the first place gets 15. So essentially, you can have your teammate, one teammate get in first every single race, but if they're all the way back in like 12th and 11th, there's a good chance you may not win. So you just gotta really help your teammates and accelerate. Because once you get the team special, everyone has that special on your team. So yeah, everyone, I feel like everyone should play Sonic Team Racing. It's good. Give it a try at least. It's a really fun game, which I'm going to make Jordan play it when I bring it down.
I mean, you won't have to make me do much. I'll play it.
Yeah, at least try it out. It's really, really solid.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Yeah, so go play Team Sonic Racing. It's a really, really solid game. It's really worth it. I just wish they had a demo of it so someone could try it out.
Yeah, that'd be smart, and that'd be nice for them to do. Well, all right. I guess that wraps things up for today. If you would like to find us on Twitter, you can find me at JizawaToad. You can find Ben at VidSigma. You can find Vinny at VinnyPlaysVlogs. You can find Patrick at Assassin_Volk. And if you would like to follow the official Twitter for the podcast, it is at Lackadaisicast, and that is spelled LackaDaisicast. Feel free to slide into the DMs. They are open. And we will see you guys next week.